Let His Holy Spirit show us what to do. Thank you for that song, one of my favorites. Ladies, what a blessing. Thank you. Boys and girls can be dismissed at this time for Children's Church. And as they do, would you take your Bible with me? And again, turn to the book of Psalms, chapter 95. Psalms 95. Looking forward to this week. I hope you are too. It's always a blessing to be alive. Amen. But to have a special week like this where we celebrate and honor the Lord's blessing on our country specifically, then that's something we ought to take a part of all the time. And let's thank the Lord for those things. We're in Psalm 95, and we're going to read some of that passage together versus, actually, we'll look at the whole chapter eventually. And as a matter of fact, let's go ahead and do that. Would you stand with me if you're able? And we'll read verses 1 to verse 11 responsively. I'll read verse 1. If you would read verse 2, back and forth. Verse 11, we'll read the whole chapter of Psalm 95. And here we go. I'll begin verse number 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods.
In His hand are the deep places of the earth, the strength of the hills, the strength of
the earth. The sea is His and He made it, and His hands formed the dry land. For He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if you will hear His voice, when your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work.
40 years long was I angry with this generation, and said, "It is a people that declare in their heart that they have not known my ways."
Let's all read verse 11, please. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. Thank you. You may be seated. I don't know in your house who cooks the turkey. Or maybe you got some other dish plan besides turkey. But sometimes cooks have a recipe, but sometimes those cooks add something and they stray from the standard that the recipe calls for. Have you ever done that? One lady did that, and she wrote it down in a poem what happened, and this is what she said. The turkey shot out of the oven and rocketed in the air. It knocked every plate off the table and partly demolished a chair. It ricocheted into a corner and burst with a deafening boom, then splattered all over the kitchen, completely obscuring the room. It stuck to the walls and the windows. It's totally coated the floor. There was turkey attached to the ceiling where there'd never been turkey before. I scraped and I scrubbed with displeasure and thought with chagrin as I mopped that I'll never again stuff a turkey with popcorn that hasn't been popped. Don't stray too far from the menu. God's given us a menu here in Psalm 95. He says, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving." Our heritage in America is to give thanks to God for blessing and preserving our nation, which He still has done. Praise God, we have strength in so many areas in America that seems to be eroding, but yet it is the hand of God that we still have a nation, and we should not forget that. Amen? We should not forget that. But more importantly than that is giving God thanks in our spiritual walk. That is the recipe for the believer in Christ. Today I'd like to look through this chapter and see how God shows us to make thanksgiving the standard in our Christian life. Is it a standard for you? Mentioned this Wednesday night when we came Wednesday night, how the Bible tells us as we enter into His courts with praise and thanksgiving, into his temple and so forth. Did you come to God's house this morning with thanksgiving and expecting to praise and honor him? If you're waiting for the songs to inspire you, or the teaching or the preaching to make a difference for you, or some special conversation with some friend that you know you're going to see this day, then you've missed out already. God says, when you enter into his courts with praise and enter his gates with thanksgiving, that's when you begin to see who he truly is. Just a moment when I pray, I want to encourage you, if that's a need for you before we even get started, why don't you do that? Say, Lord, I want to thank you today. I want to praise you today. Help me to do it before I walk out this door, walk out these doors and leave this place, because this is the place where God desires for you and I to give thanksgiving to him. Make thanksgiving the standard in our Christian life. That's the title this morning. If you write notes, that's the title. Make thanksgiving standard in your Christian life. Before we go any further, would you bow with me? I'll pray. We'll ask God to help us as we get started and continue to help through the time together. Heavenly Father, thank you for who you are, Lord. Thank you that you exist. We know when we call on you that there's someone who's listening and someone who desires to answer. Now, Lord, I pray that what we ask would be a part of your will, and that is that you'd show us who we are. As we look in the mirror of your word, Lord, in the Old Testament and the New, Father, show us who we are compared to Christ. Show us what needs to change, maybe what needs to be laid at your altar, what needs to be confessed, what needs to be committed. Father, all these things are in your hands, and now we pray that the Holy Spirit would have freedom to speak to us and through us. Maybe there's a soul who's listening that needs Jesus as Savior. They need to put their faith in him today. I pray this would be the day of salvation. Whatever happens, Lord, I pray you get the glory through all things that are said and done. In Jesus' name, amen. Make thanksgiving standard in your Christian life. Number one. Notice again, verse 1, he says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." The Christian standard is to give thanks with our voice. Give thanks with our voice. Well, I was thinking about God. Well, God says that's not good enough. You need to speak it out. Make it known vocally. Come, let us sing unto the Lord. You can't sing silently unless, like as I said, you're doing it with sign language. And even then, others can tell something's coming out of them that honors the Lord. He says, come, let us sing, make it a point with your voice to thank the Lord. Here's two ways he says to do it. Joyfully, or I should say three ways, joyfully sing unto God as your audience. Hey, praise the Lord, we can sing songs this morning, amen? And enjoy the music and hear one another lift our voice up to the Lord. But here's what it says. Take a look at verse 1 again. Come, let us sing unto who? Not the person across the aisle, not the best singers in church, and not the worst. He says, make God your audience. Make God your audience. You know what I found? Your audience depends on how well or how much effort you're going to put into something. Would you agree with that? Your audience depends on how well or how much effort you're going to put into something. If God is our audience and you consider the one who created everything we see is the one listening and we sing to, the Bible tells us that there should be a character, a personality of joy as we bring it to him. Here's why we should sing joyfully unto God. A couple of reasons. Because number one, he rewards those who seek him. He rewards those who seek him. Hebrews 11, verse number 6, the hall of faith we often call. Here's what verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, certainly scriptures tell us that sin is judged by God. He claims it all over the scriptures. And he warns us of what that judgment's going to be. If you do not know the Lord as your Savior today, judgment by God is not getting a flat tire, because I want to tell you something, Christians get flat tires too. Judgment of God is not when things don't go well, or maybe you lose your identity because somebody has hacked in and taken some of that privacy from you. Christians have to get that to happen too. I want to tell you something, that's not judgment by God. Judgment by God for sin is an eternal separation from Him. That eternal separation starts at the time that we understand we're not born of God. We're born sinners. We're born sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that we are not alive unto God before we know Jesus. We're dead. We're dead. And the Bible tells us that death continues on through life. There's nothing spiritual about us. And yet God says, if you seek me, I'll reward you for it. How many are born again this morning? You're born again, you're saved. Amen? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord all through the room this morning. Let me ask you this question. Did you get saved because somebody forced you to do it? Now, I thank my mom and my pastor and other teachers that shared the gospel with me and showed me what Scripture says, but they didn't say, now, if you don't do what I tell you, if you don't call on Christ right now, you can't be my son anymore. You can't come to church anymore. Or you can't be a part of this group anymore. No, the truth of the matter is, none of them saved me. God saved me. And it had to be voluntarily accepting His Son as Savior. You know, God rewards those who seek Him. What does He reward those who seek Him for salvation with? Salvation. Amen. This is not a hard test, folks. I know we're on break now. Examination time is over. Because He rewards those who seek Him. And secondly, you just answered it, because His salvation comes with an eternal guarantee. Eternal guarantee. I've been working on our snowblower, which I bought like 15 years ago. And I'm thankful I bought it 15 years ago. Have you looked at the price of snowblowers today, man? You could buy 3 lawnmowers for a snowblower nowadays. And I was looking through I'm one of those who keep the instruction manual. How many keep instruction manuals from the things you buy, by the way? They always tell you to do that. Some folks, they toss. But I kept this thing for 15 years, and I figured out the warranty ended 13 years ago. So now all the work I've got to do myself. Although it's lasted a long time, we're maintaining it, the warranty from the manufacturer is over. And on this earth, nothing man can make can last for eternity. Right. Nothing. We can't make machines. We can't make vehicles. We can't build houses. We can't make anything that lasts for eternity. But God says, I'll build you a house in heaven that'll last for eternity. Amen. He says, I'll have a relationship with you that'll last for eternity. But you must receive Christ as my Savior. As your Savior. 1 John, take a look. 1 John chapter 5. Would you go there? 1 John 5, verse 11, verse 12. This is why we can joyfully sing to God as our audience, because His salvation comes with an eternal guarantee. And friends, let's not take that lightly. Amen? God went to a lot of trouble to make sure you could be saved forever. Don't you agree? He sent the best of heaven to earth to die on the cross, to shed His blood for us. 1 John chapter 5, look at verse 11 and 12. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Do you have the Son of God today? Then joyfully sing unto God. Joyfully, as audience who is listening to you, sing to Him. Another thing the Bible tells us here as we talk about giving our thanks with our voice is to joyfully submit to God as our King. Look at verse number 3. For the Lord is great. He is a great God and a great King above all gods. The Bible tells us that you and I, though we live in America, one of the things America was established on is that we're not going to have an aristocracy. But in the Christian life, guess what? There is an aristocracy. Amen. An aristocracy of one. God himself. God is our king. Christ is our king. The Bible tells us the Lord is great, is a great God and the great king above all gods. Isaiah 57, verse number 15 says this, "For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones." Now, the only way I know how to get to heaven personally, first of all, you got to receive Christ as your Savior. Then secondly, how else do you get there? You draw your last breath on this world. The Bible says, absent from the body is presence with the Lord. But Isaiah 57 says this, I dwell, present tense, right now, the Heavenly Father. He says, I dwell in the high and holy place with him, also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. Huh. God says, I'll be in your presence and you'll be in mine as you submit and honor me, especially with your voice. The Bible says, if you want to be a Christian who's living up to God's standard, you need to give thanks with your voice. Your voice. Thinking it, contemplating it, things we're not going to be avoid, what's going on in our minds, and trust that we consider those things. The Bible's clear on that too. But he says, here's how to honor me with thanksgiving, is you do it with your voice. Do it with your voice. Think of all the times you could have thanked the Lord, but chose not to. Think of all the times we could have said something about God in front of others in thanksgiving, but chose not to. Let's make it our standard to give thanks with our voice. Number two, let's go back to the chapter 95. Verse number four. Psalm 95, verse 4 says, in his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our maker. Number two, the Christian standard is to give thanks with validation. To give thanks with validation. He says, in his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. To validate something is to confirm it. In January, I am required to get validation for our vehicles. On my birthday, our state of Michigan, in their lovely wisdom, has required it's not a donation, it's a bill from the Secretary of State's office to register our vehicles. There's an expense to that. When I pay it, when I do, they are required to send me validation. The payment is not the validation. The bill is not the validation. What do they send you, folks, when you've paid your registration? They send you a little tag, a little sticker that goes on your license plate that everybody can see. Especially Mr. Police Officer. He needs to see that too, especially. The sticker, which I don't know, maybe cost of what? A dollar to make? I should say cost us a dollar to make. But they charge an inordinate amount of money for that little sticker to show that your vehicle is now legal to drive. To validate your vehicle can be on the road. The validation is the sticker. It's what others can see. Notice what the Bible says here. There's validation all around us in two ways he shares with us that we can see it today. Number one is this, creation validates God's unmatched ability. Creation validates God's unmatched ability. Even an evolutionist has to somehow find a first cause to everything. Now they've come up with the idea of a Big Bang, but they've realized that doesn't work either. Because when you go Big Bang, what happens to things? They don't come back and become more complex. They become more pieces. That's what it is. I said, well, that can't be that. Then they tried some other theories, and finally they're settling so far on aliens. Aliens created this world. Can I tell you something? Aliens didn't create this world. God created this world. The complexity of the minutest thing. John chapter 1, verse 3, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Creation validates God's unmatched ability. Our thanks simply confirms that it is the Lord that did it. Our thanks points to what his mighty hand has made. The Bible talks about the hills, the heavens, the hearts of men. All confirm that only God can make this. Only God can make this. A simple surgical procedure for the heart is life-threatening to us. But God made it happen in one day to build the heart, to build the body, to build a place for the human beings to live and thrive and survive, and give them commands to follow that would be best for him. Creation validates God's unmatched ability. But notice verse number 6. He says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down." Our worship, the second thing that Bible here mentions validates who God is our worship. Our worship validates God's ongoing care for mankind. It validates God's ongoing care for mankind. God destroyed the world with a flood. Remember reading about that? He took everything he made and destroyed it. He saved the animals. He saved a pair of each animal. He saved mankind. And he continued, though, with the creation that he made after that. And here we are today. He said, "I'll never destroy the world that way again." By the way, are there floods in the world today? Are there world floods in the world today? No, there's not. Because God has kept his word, which he always does. Someday the Bible says, I believe it's scriptural, that he will take care of this earth completely by fire. The Bible's clear about that. I believe in 1 Peter, he tells us about that. But that will come at a much later time, not in this era, but in the after the 1,000-year reign and so forth in prophetic times. But the Bible tells us today he continues to care for mankind. He works in the events and the things of man. In 1863, President Abraham Lincoln issued a national call to lay aside enmities and strife on Thanksgiving Day. He had designated the last Thursday of November for such a day. In his proclamation, he spoke of the wealth, growing population, and the opportunities that freedom had and will bring. Now let's remember what year this was, 1863. How many think today is a tough time for America? How many think 1863 was harder? You know, at the beginning of 1863, the Union was not winning the war. Deaths were mounting up. Everyone knew somebody who had died as a result of the war. And not only because of the fighting. They say in most of the wars, especially during those days and before modern medicine and so forth, medical technology, most deaths happened because of disease or infection. They had no way to stop the infection, and they would die as a result. 1863. You can read its proclamation. It's very short, and I encourage you to do so because it's interesting. In the midst of the Civil War, he said, God's blessed us with wealth, with a growing population, and the opportunities freedom had and will bring. And this is what he said. No human counsel hath devised, nor any other mortal hand worked out these great things. They are the gracious gifts of the Most High God, who, while dealing with us in anger for our sins, hath nevertheless remembered mercy. Wow. Wow. Don't you miss a president like that, who recognizes where anything good comes from. and His grace and His mercy. Our worship only validates God and His ongoing care for mankind. Continue to worship Him. Amen. Continue to meet. Continue to sing. Continue to honor Him in your life. The Christian standard is to give thanks with validation. The Christian standard is to give thanks with our voice. And number three, the Christian standard is to give thanks with volition. Volition. Notice again, verse number six. Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Let's decide to do this. Volition means a choice or decision made by the will. No one forces us to do it. No one makes us go. They don't handcuff us and draw us into it. This is a choice God says, I want you to make. Choose to give thanks with volition. The Bible tells us that, number one, God invites me to choose Him. Verse number six says, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Which Lord? Just so that the Bible wants us to understand, it's not any Lord, it's the Lord. How do we know? Look at the verse. Tell me what's different about Lord there. Every letter is capitalized. Lord. The self-existent God, Jehovah. All that you read and know of Him, He's the one. He invites me to choose Him. He says, come to the cross for Christ and for salvation. He also says, walk with Christ through submission. Let me ask you a question. What would be better if I gave it over to God? What would be better if I gave it over to God? Let me share some things that the scripture mentions that would be better if I gave them to God. Number one, my free will. We had a call from our son the other night. He got in a discussion. That's the way he described it. I think it was probably a little more heated than that. A discussion with another friend of his about free will. Free will. That our own free will can cause us to lose our salvation. You've ever heard anybody say that? That because we can choose the Lord, we can also unchoose Him. The problem with that, the Bible says that's not the way it works. Amen. The Bible says that when you receive Christ as your Savior in faith, that God promises never, never to cast you away out of His family. He does not promise to make your life a bed of roses. In fact, He also promises if you're His child, He will spank you from time to time. The Bible uses a few different words, but that's the way I see it. If I get out of line, because God loves me, He disciplines me too. But my free will, it would be much better if I gave it over to God. Lord, that my choices would be the same as Yours. The time will come, we'll stand before the Father or before Jesus. If you're born again this morning, you'll stand before Christ, our Savior. You will stand. My mother and father will not stand beside me or in front of me. My wife, sir, your wife can no longer make excuses for you. Ma'am, your husband can never stand between you and Jesus and shield you of any type of things that might be bothersome to hear. No, you'll stand alone before Jesus. The Bible says He'll take what we've done for Him, or on this earth, I should say, the works we've done, and He'll test them. He'll try them. And they will either come out as gold, silver, and precious stones. They were honoring to Him and the Heavenly Father. They advanced the purpose of Jesus Christ, and heaven is better for it as we honored in this life. Or they'll become what? Wood, hay, stubble. Things that will burn up and never have any good use once they're gone. My free will makes a difference whether it's going to be gold, silver, and precious stones or wood, hay, and stubble. What motivates you to do things for God? God says, let Him have your will. What would be better if God had it? How about your family? Your family. It's not easy to put your family in God's hands. How many have found that out? It's not easy to put your family in God's hands. I think of some of our missionaries who are on the other side of the earth. They have family here too somewhere who misses them. We've got family just 3 hours away, and we miss them. But God says, you know what, if you're in my hands, there's no better place for them to be. No better place for them to be. Have you ever tried putting your finances in the hands of God? Have you ever said, Lord, here's the checkbook, or however, the app. I don't know how you keep track of it. Each penny needs your direction, Lord. What do you want to do with it? What do you want to do with it? Would you show us and help us? And certainly your future. Your future. God's even clear in the scriptures for the Christian. Just for the Christian. We know not what a day may bring forth. Praise God, we've got plans to be here and plans to be here tonight. Amen. And we've got plans to live for God the rest of this week. Amen? Amen. But God may have different plans. God's plan might be different. Whatever it is, greater or a little different than what we think, God says, why don't you try putting those plans in my hands and let me guide and direct that. He invites me to choose him. Take a look at verse number 7 again, please. Verse number 7 in Psalm 95. God invites me to be molded by his hand, to be molded by his hand. For he is our God, verse 7, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if we will hear his voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my work, 40 years long was I grieved with this generation and said, it is a people that do err in their what? Heart. And they have not known my ways. Unto whom I swear in my wrath that they should not enter into my rest. God invites me to be molded by his hand. Hardness to God forfeits his rest, or what we see in the New Testament, his peace. His peace. This is opposing God's plan, his principles, and his practice. Hardness to God forfeits his rest, his peace. One writer says this, pride slays thanksgiving, but an humble mind is the soil out of which thanks naturally grow. A proud man is seldom a grateful man, for he never thinks he gets as much as he deserves. Is there hardness in the heart? God says, bring it to me today. Let's not waste any more time. The Israelites wasted 40 years. And remember, a generation was gone by the time that 40 years was over. Not because of they had bad health, not because of anything else, but because they chose to disobey God's plan and his principles and put it into practice. Hardness to God forfeits his rest, his peace, but bending to God's peace gives him decision power in our lives. Bending to God's peace gives him decision power in our lives. We look at this actually in Sunday school, Colossians chapter 3. Would you go there with me, please? Colossians chapter 3. Actually, I'm thinking of tonight. Colossians 4. Colossians chapter 3 is the verses we want to look at as we close this morning. Bending to God's peace gives him decision power in our lives. You say, how can we do that? How do you bend to God's peace? Colossians chapter 3 tells us. Let's see. Verse number 14. Verse number 15. In just a moment. Let's read those two together, please. Colossians 3, verse 14, verse 15. Let's begin. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Notice the words there. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts. The word rule there means umpire. Umpire. To make the decisions. And you say, how in the world can that happen? Part of the way it happens is by being thankful. By being thankful. Instead of blaming everything and burdening God with everything, how about we thank Him for everything? How about we give Him thanks? And that is, peace can umpire, can rule our own hearts, can make the decisions. And that would answer a lot of boxes for us. Our will would be His, our direction, the future. Bend to God's peace and give Him decision power in your life. Is He making the calls, or somebody, or you besides? The Christian standard is to give thanks with the voice. The Christian standard is to give thanks with our validation. And the Christian standard is to give thanks with volition. Count your blessings instead of your crosses. Count your gains instead of your losses. Count your joys instead of your woes. Count your friends instead of your foes. Count your smiles instead of your tears. Count your courage instead of your fears. Count your health instead of your wealth. Count on Christ instead of yourself. What is it that we're counting today and giving thanks to the God who loves us so much and cares for us right now? Heavenly Father, help us to make this a standard. Lord, there's times when our own voice, we have stopped it. Oh God, forgive us. Help us to bring that to You. Lord, there's times we've chosen not to validate who You are, not to show others. Everyone who sees us, we're a follower of You. We're a child of God. We're saved in Jesus Christ and cleansed by His precious blood. God, forgive us and help us to bring that to You today. And Lord, how often do we choose differently than You? How often do we see things from Your Holy Spirit in the Scriptures and we choose differently? God, forgive us and help us to bring that to You today. Whatever our need, I pray that this would be the time that we wait no longer, that we bring this time to You. Oh, let us sing unto the Lord, our Maker. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. If you're able, would you stand with me, please, with heads bowed and eyes closed, and maybe God's spoken to you, and now's the time you need to respond. You can do it right there where you stand, or you can make it a big deal. Step out, ask God's help on these things. Maybe something else that we've not talked about, but God has shown you. How about you respond to Him? That's His desire, is to see us change into His image, the image of our Savior. I'm going to ask the organ to softly play the song we'll sing in just a moment. And when she begins to softly play that, would you respond to what God has told you to do for Him? Maybe you need Christ as Savior. I'll be there at the floor with my Bible. I'd love to talk about that with you, my favorite subject. Maybe God has this day set aside for you to be saved. Whatever the need, would you respond as she begins to play?